Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with The Stronger Man, The Sin Against the Holy Spirit, Good Fruit and Bad, The Sign of Jonah, and The Plight of the Homeless Demon. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
There's no right to an abortion, in or implied by the Constitution. It was made up out of whole cloth by the Supreme Court in 1973.
It's one thing to believe something about yourself that is contrary to reality. It is a whole other thing to construct a system that requires everybody else to play along with your illusion.
Regarding Jesus, 2/3 of evangelicals, 65%, affirm this statement: Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. That statement is pure heresy.
Babies?
Babies.
Love?
Love.
Listening?
Ning.
To? Issues?
Issues.
Etc.
Shada.
With?
With.
There?
Dear.
Mommies?
Mommies.
If you sit down and enter into the Google search engine Latino Evangelicals, you might be surprised at how many news stories recently have been noticing this. Well, is it a subcategory of Latinos or a subcategory of evangelicals? It depends on the reporting. Even the New York Times has recently written about Latino evangelicals. One of the things they discovered, maybe? Well, Latino evangelicals have economic concerns that attract some of them to Donald Trump. That different from, say, your average blue-collar Rust Belt voter. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about media coverage of Latino evangelicals in the U.S. presidential race. Terry Mattingly will join us. We'll spend some time discussing this term, sexual orientation. It isn't what it sounds like. It sounds like everybody has a sexual direction that they're headed, but the research does not bear that out. And it's moving very fast. Glenn Stanton will be our guest. Rebecca Curtis joins us after that to talk about the baby boomers and the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. Then we'll discuss two issues with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, the beheading of a French teacher for showing caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad, and the question, was the atonement a cosmic child abuse? Joining us to discuss media coverage of Latino evangelicals and the U.S. presidential race, Terry Mattingly. He's senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
This New York Times story, what did they notice there about Latino evangelicals that made the story particularly interesting?
Well, I think, simply stated, they noticed that they're actually evangelicals. And because they're evangelicals, there are certain doctrinal and cultural convictions that matter to them a great deal. Then, at the same time, they're still Latino, which means there's a distinct cultural perspective there and a lot of kind of political angles that play into that. But there's this one amazing paragraph that shows up in the piece that I thought was interesting. Let me see if I can find this thing real quickly. It's not a question of assimilation. On the contrary, many Hispanic evangelicals primarily speak Spanish and see themselves as outside of any kind of mainstream, set apart by their religious views as much as their ethnicity. Did you hear? Isn't that an interesting phrase? They see themselves as outside of any kind of mainstream, set apart by their religious views as much as their ethnicity. Now, when you break that down a little bit and you, you get into the sections where the main pastor who's being interviewed refers to himself as politically homeless, that in American politics right now, the general appearance is that while everyone assumes that Latinos would be Democrats, a part of the great ethnic wings of the Democratic Party, and everybody assumes they would hate Donald Trump because in the 2016 race, Trump did say a lot of things that thoroughly offended Latino Americans. This religion thing won't go away. Now, in this case, you can contrast this New York Times piece, which I'm recommending to readers, urging them to read it. You can contrast that with a piece from the political desk of the Washington Post, which, as I described, it ran with a paint-by-numbers headline. The headline was, "Despite Trump's actions against immigrants, these Latino voters want 4 more years." Well, this is a piece on Latinos who support Trump. But contrast that headline with this double-decker headline atop this long piece at the New York Times. Latino, evangelical, and politically homeless. Hispanic evangelicals identify as religious first, I would say Christian first, and foremost. That's why, despite his harsh rhetoric on immigration, many back President Trump. Can you tell which one of those two was written by the political desk?
Yeah.
Okay. But the point of this thing is, this is a chance where you get to hear some Americans talk about their religious and political convictions, and it becomes very apparent that these religious believers, these Latino evangelicals, do not fit easily into the whole cookie-cutter approach of the current American two-party system. Now, as I worked on this piece today, it suddenly hit me that this actually is an extremely similar column. All right, it's a Get Religion post, but it has a lot in common with the column that I shipped today to the Universal Syndicate. And in that one, I quoted the recent piece that caused so much heat online by Tim Keller, the founding pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York. He wrote a piece recently, an op-ed page piece for the New York Times called, "How Do Christians Fit Into the Two-Party System?" They don't. And the key quote there was this emphasis on package deals. And he defines a package deal, quoting a number of sources, that a package deal is when to work with the party, you have to buy the whole package. If you're going to work with Democrats, you need to buy the Democratic Party package as it exists right now. If you want to work with Republicans, you need to buy the Republican package as it exists right now. And, of course, right now that also means Donald Trump. But here's the key quote. This emphasis on package deals puts pressures on Christians in politics. For example, following both the Bible and the early church, Christians should be committed to racial justice and the poor, but also to the understanding that sex is only for marriage and for nurturing family. One of those views seems liberal, and the other looks oppressively conservative. He then adds, the historical Christian positions on social issues do not fit into contemporary political alignments. Well, at this point, doesn't it kind of sound like Tim Keller could be a Latino evangelical? Or for that matter, doesn't it sound like he could be a black Democrat? Kind of struggling inside, I mean, a church-going black Democrat who's struggling inside the parameters of that party. And then you know what? Doesn't that sound exactly like what you and I have discussed about the problems of most practicing American Catholics trying to fit into the two-party structure? They're pro-life. They're opposed to the death penalty. They are in favor of religious liberty under the old original liberal meanings of that term. They're in favor of marriage and family. They are Amy Coney Barrett, for Pete's sake. Well, how do they fit into the current structure of the two parties and what separates them. I think it's the summation of much of the work I've done over the last 20 years that the primary thing that separates them is religion, and specifically religion as it applies to marriage, sexuality, and family. I would in no way would indicate that liberal Democrats who are liberal Christians or liberal Jews or whatever are not believers. They are, but they have a different theological system when it comes to these crucial moral and cultural issues related to sex, marriage, family, abortion, and all the things that swirl around that, including the First Amendment fights right now, as Justice Kennedy put it, between the defenders of sexual freedom and religious freedom. Long answer to your question, and much to unpack there. But do you buy my basic idea that a lot of these different types of displaced Americans in our political system have the same basic problem?
I do, and what struck me in reading that in the Washington Post piece on these Latino evangelicals is that a lot of times their support for President Trump, and in some cases ongoing support for President Trump, they haven't changed their minds, is based upon kind of Rust Belt issues, like my taxes went down and my take-home pay went up and things like that. The kind of things that these are usually considered to be kind of basic middle-class Rust Belt issues.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that there isn't a secular side of this agenda or of this dilemma or puzzle. I mean, obviously, you have kind of an emphasis on entrepreneurship and small business and community, and I wrote that into my post. But it seems to me that the Washington Post piece, by the way, is, of course, not about Latino evangelicals. It's just about Latino voters. And like, oh, by the way, a lot of these Latino voters seem to be evangelicals now. Gosh, that doesn't fit into what, you know, into our framework. So let's ignore it. The New York Times piece doesn't ignore it. And this is one of the first pieces I've seen in elite media that goes in depth and lets Latino evangelicals speak for themselves. And thus you see, although the word, I don't know if the word doctrine is used, what you see is the doctrinal elements of this painful situation that they find themselves in politically.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Latino evangelicals and the U.S. presidential race. When we come back from the break, they are also be called the New Deciders. What does that mean? Stay tuned. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The seasons are changing, the weather cooling, and it's almost time to commemorate All Saints' Day and the Reformation. That means it's the perfect time of year to celebrate our faithful pastors. Ad Crucem has an excellent selection of gifts for clergy. Come and see our pictorial crucifixes, Christmons, posters, art, greeting cards, wooden plaques, or, if you can't decide your favorite, purchase a gift card of any denomination. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM mommies.com.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
We're talking about media coverage of Latino evangelicals in the U.S. presidential race. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow at the Overbeat Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, I noticed a couple places actually referred to Latino evangelicals, and I think they were probably talking in particular about the ones in Florida, as the new deciders. What does that mean?
Well, you could pin the term swing voter into that. And how I would define new deciders is that this is a group of undecided voters, of swing voters that we just noticed. So that makes them new. They've existed for quite some time. It's like we've just gone through 4 years of altogether now being obsessed with 81% of white evangelicals voted for Trump. We've been focusing on that over and over. When who were the voters that actually elected Donald Trump? Well, it seems to me that there are two groups more than any other. One would be people that used to think of themselves as Democrats up in the Rust Belt. And a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are Catholic. A lot of them are labor union people. And a lot of these people got fed up and they swung over. Now, when they did that with Ronald Reagan, they were called Reagan Democrats, which means we can add another familiar political label to that list I had a while ago of the Latino evangelicals and the Catholics and the black churchgoers and all these groups that are these swing voters, these people that don't fit well in either party. Well, add the Reagan Democrats. What separated the Reagan Democrats from the trends of the modern Democratic Party? Yes, there were economic issues. Yes, there were various things. But more than anything else, once again, we're talking about life after Roe v. Wade. And the fact that something like, depending on how you define the term, somewhere between 30, some people put it as high as 40% of Democrats today continue to say that they do not favor America's current interpretation of Roe v. Wade and its impact on abortion. They would either oppose abortion or they would support major restrictions on abortion, which restrictions that would be allowed, some would say, under Roe. But basically, 30-ish, 40% of the Democratic Party would call themselves pro-life. Well, there's another group of people caught in a situation where they can't really identify with their party that much, and they feel, as these Latino evangelicals kept saying, they feel stuck. They're stuck between the two parties. They're in a no man's land. Well, they're called new deciders also because in the case of the Latinos, Latino evangelicals, it's beginning to affect a state that political writers care about again. We're beginning to see stories that say, why is Donald Trump leading Joe Biden in Florida among Latinos in a few polls? And once again, that strikes me as utterly bizarre. I mean, I can't picture that. But you and I, for several years now, have been talking about the fact that on election night 2016, I began to notice the pattern. I mean, everybody thought that Trump would bomb with Latino voters in Florida. And then he turned out that he got 35%. Now, that's not as high as Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, or certainly not as high as George W. Bush. But 35% of Latino voters in Florida is a big deal when you win by what? A couple of thousand votes? And it's a nip and tuck race. So all of a sudden now, the press is saying, wow, there's Latino evangelicals, even though the number of Latinos converting to various forms of Protestantism has been one of the major stories on the religion beat now for 3 decades, something like that. But it's like now it's real because it's political. It's affecting politics. And in Florida, which is one of those states that really does get the attention of reporters. So new deciders, I think, just means swing voters that we just noticed.
All right. The numbers tell us that this is a long-term political trend, getting kind of trying to break out of the thinking solely in terms of short-term effect on Trump's popularity or his electability. The current population of Latinos in the United States is about 61 million. That's 18% of the U.S. population.
Mm-hmm.
And they account for 52% of population growth overall in the United States over the last 2 decades.
Right.
It is a growing population. They will be the largest, quote unquote, minority population very, very soon. What does that mean for the future of electoral politics?
Well, for one thing, it means that either Latino evangelicals and Latino practicing Catholics. You know, I think if you combine those two groups, you're looking at an even larger potential political force. I think this is one of the reasons why, to be blunt about it, Joe Biden isn't very anxious to talk right now about sexual liberation issues. I mean, he's probably walking up to the podium for the debate tomorrow night, and among the many things he's saying, including don't ask me about that computer, don't ask me about that hard drive, don't you think he's also saying, don't ask me about the Equality Act? Please don't ask me about the Equality Act. Please don't ask me about the potential to have to send the Little Sisters of the Poor back to the Supreme Court. Please don't ask me about religious liberty issues. Because once again, that pushes on these groups of swing voters. But the overwhelming statistics that you just cited bring up something that our colleague Ryan Berg, who works with all kinds of people right now, with a good reason. He's awfully, awfully good at what he does, crunching numbers. But Ryan, this spring, had a chart out that I found it while looking for this Latino information about Latino evangelicals. Now, listen to this for a second. Ryan wrote, among Protestants, the racial group that is most likely to identify as born again or evangelicals are Hispanics, 70%. Now, among black Protestants, 60% are likely to identify as born again or define themselves as evangelical. Among Asian Protestants, it's 58%. Among white Protestants, 56% would identify themselves as born again, as evangelical in terms of self-identity. Isn't that fascinating? When you think of American Protestantism, would it have occurred to you that the most intensely born-again evangelical section of American Protestantism would be Latino? That was certainly, I didn't know. And that has all kinds of implications for issues. Let me just make a leap there. No wonder the Assemblies of God is doing so well with its charismatic churches that are thoroughgoing, diverse diversity in terms of the people that are in their pews, including Latinos and Asians and blacks and other groups. I mean, this whole issue of whether or not your church is ethnically diverse isn't just a matter of blacks and whites. It's Asians and Latinos as well. And we've got to stop thinking of Latino being the same as Catholic. And while that's still obviously a huge part of Hispanic culture and Mexican culture and Central American culture, everyone needs to get themselves a copy of that Pew Research Forum study of Pentecostalism in Latin and South America from about 8 years ago and have really got to absorb the size of the Latino Pentecostal and evangelical community. We just are not going to be able to avoid covering it anymore.
everything's very hot and heavy right now because, of course, we're just weeks, days away from a crucial presidential race. But in the long term, if you had an opportunity to speak to an editor at a major newspaper and say, look, this is something I think you need to watch, even apart from Donald Trump, this is something you need to watch with respect to these people you just noticed, mm-hmm. Latino evangelicals, what would you say to them?
I would say get on an airplane and fly to Florida. And I'm going to recommend that you interview someone about this topic that you probably haven't connected his name to it. How about the name Jeb Bush? And do the interview with him in Spanish, by the way, with his Spanish, his Latino wife and his multicultural kids. Don't you predict that Jeb Bush knows a little bit about the power of the evangelical Latino vote in Florida? I'd love to see an interview with him, wouldn't you? And there are others down there. They have a certain senator from down there that probably knows a thing or two about it. But it's like the press corps, it just took a while to notice this story because it has this powerful religious component. So that would be my advice to an editor. You've heard of the Bush family? Fly to Florida. Get out a map. Sit down with a Florida map with Jeb Bush and say, former governor, point at the map and tell me where they are. And I bet you he could do it. And he would look at the interstate regions right around Orlando, and he could probably start naming megachurches and pastors because he knows where they are. And if Jeb Bush, who represents political establishment about as much as anybody conceivably could, maybe if Jeb Bush explained it to them, they'd get it. That would be my hope.
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks.
Glad to be here.
Glenn Stanton joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to spend some time talking with him about the term sexual orientation. Amy Coney Barrett was recently upbraided for using the term sexual preference, and maybe the criticism was completely misfounded. We'll find out why next. What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, writes St. Paul in his opening salvo to the Galatians. There is indeed no other gospel than that which we taught to you. And that's what the October issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, the gospel proclaimed to you through the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Atonement Lutheran, Glendale, Arizona. Concordia Lutheran, Geneseo, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Stevensville, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. St. John Lutheran, Port Sanilac, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Long Beach, California. And Trinity Lutheran, San Dimas, California. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.